Well, hello everybody, and welcome to show number 300 from Engage for Success. That's quite a milestone. 300 radio shows looking at employee engagement and culture change and leadership and the four enablers. I'm really interested in the topic that we have to mark today's milestone. We're going to be talking about squad mentality and the impact of that on performance, both inside organisations and within teams as well. And to help us look at that topic, squad mentality and engaged performance, how to win faster, win more and win better, I'm joined by Eamon O'Brien from the CR&C organisation, who's going to help us navigate the topic and give us some insights onto the value of this thinking. So welcome to the show, Eamon.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm delighted to be here on the milestone of your 300th show.
I know, it's quite something. And we discovered when we were briefing for this show, we discovered that we actually worked together way, way back in a past life.
Absolutely.
When you were at GSK, I think.
That's right.
That's probably far too long ago for either of us to wish to think about. but it does make you, I think, one of my most long-standing LinkedIn connections. So it's obviously a day for milestones. So before we get into talking about squad mentality and what it is, perhaps you could just give us a little bit of a brief overview of your background professionally, Eamon.
Yeah, sure, I will. I think I'll begin by sharing a couple of beliefs. So I believe that teams and individuals can be quite unusually brilliant.
Right.
And I also believe that if people think out loud about the stuff they need to think about, then stuff tends to happen. Things really start to happen. So I actually spend my time as a consultant, a facilitator, and a coach, I guess, in the field of leadership and organization development. Mm-hmm. And I've just realized, as we're talking about milestones, this is my 20th year of doing this.
Right.
And prior to that, you've touched on it, I had a wonderful, fun career in marketing and sales in the pharmaceutical industry. Really mm-hmm. loved that piece. And as you said, that's when I first met you.
Right. And then we kind of had the opportunity to get you involved to talk about squad mentality. So it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of talk around about scrum masters and agile working. And there's a lot of those sort of terms get bandied about in the digital space in terms of, you know, coding and developing and all of that kind of thing. But I think I sort of get a sense that squad mentality, does that come from there or does it come from sport or where did it kind of originate?
Well, I guess for me, it originated from sport because I was lucky to have done some work with the Rugby Football Union. And
right.
I was just interested, you know, what's a team and what's a squad? And I noticed that what people were talking about it was that a team was no longer the 15 players that started a game. The squad was something much bigger than that. And a great example would be to think of the substitutes. In the olden days, people used to think of substitutes were the people who were not good enough for the first team. That's no longer the case. They are an integral part of the team, and they're now referred to as finishers. They come on to do something. So you've got, not only have you got the team on the pitch, you know, you've got more. You know, I just think it's fascinating because you've got the coaches, the medics, strength and conditioning, and nutrition around there. And I thought squad was a really, it captured a much bigger term. It captured the whole world of matrix working or cross-functional working. Sadly, as an Irishman, the RFU has sort of aligned this all into helping England to become a winning rugby team again.
oh dear. Yes, sadly for you. But and I guess we're sort of seeing that. I mean, today's the first day of the Cricket World Cup, of course, isn't
yeah.
it? And you're seeing the same. I guess you must see the same thing there with the people that are not actually part of the 11 that go on the team actually make it onto the field, but they might be brought in to do a particular job at the very end or something.
Absolutely. And I think it's fascinating. I find myself now watching any sport on the telly and trying to work out which of the squads have a squad mentality. And it is often, you know, the successful teams. I mean, you look at Liverpool and Manchester City, and it's, you know, two different types of squads, but two very strong, tightly knit groups of people. But also you often see it towards the relegation end, where the side that pulls itself through, they tend to have that squad mentality too.
Right.
So,
interesting.
Maybe I should tell you what I think squad mentality is.
I would like. Yeah, let's do that, because we've started off with where it may come from and the sort of sense that is it to do with sport or isn't it? So yeah, in a few sentences, yeah, give us a lovely definition if you would.
All right. So I also think the whole thing about a squad mentality, it's blending an art and a science together. I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a squad mentality when the people in the squad tell you they're part of something worthwhile and bigger than themselves.
Right. Yep. That ties in very much then with the whole engage for success first enabler around purpose and having a strong, clear strategic narrative of where the organization's going. So
without a clear purpose and without knowing where your value lies within that purpose and the impact that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that so people need to know why they're valued,
right?
And I guess that all comes around. I guess in my language, it's people need to understand their strengths, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they utilize and develop them, then actually that helps the squad mentality cause. But it means that the real person shows up at work,
right?
And when the real person shows up at work, real work gets done.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Yes.
And then the next thing for me is this thing around mindset. And I have this, you know, we hear the phrase about a winning mindset. I believe it's a wanting to win mindset. And well, you know, what do I mean by that?
Yeah.
And I think that no team, right, with a wanting to win mindset will ever lose. Right, because of a lack of effort. And I think that's a really, really powerful insight into what gives you a squad mentality, is that you will already have got people with purpose using their strengths and putting in the effort to make sure that things get done and delivered and perform.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, you know, I've started with, you know, we've talked about purpose, strengths and mindset, but many people might say, it's culture that you need to start with. And I think I define a great culture is when people can do their most courageous thinking together and then act on it.
Right.
And so if you put those four things together, actually then you'll end up creating a squad mentality. And as you said in the introduction, the squad will win faster, win more, and perhaps the most important thing, particularly for Engage for Success, you win better, you win in a better way. And that to me is, it gets me very excited and I could talk forever.
Yeah, it makes workplaces better places. It's about better quality of work and all of that.
Absolutely.
So does a squad have to be made up of people doing different things? Or can a squad be a group of people all doing the same thing? What I'm trying to get at is, by definition, is a squad one that calls on various strengths and skills and brings together those differences to create something stronger? Or could it be actually lots of people all doing, I'm thinking perhaps in a call center, you know, could you have a squad of people all manning the phones, all essentially doing the same job? Or is a squad, by definition, where you bring together a person with that skill set, and that skill set, and they do something very special with it?
I think this is going to be one of those it depends answers. So, and to me, I think it depends on what the purpose is.
Right.
So you can have a group of people doing similar tasks with a common purpose, and they can develop a squad mentality. Or you could have a cross-functional team coming together to do a particular project. They too can have a squad mentality. I think so. The answer to your question is both. I don't think there's any clear definition of that.
No. And that probably leads on to then. I think I've probably already answered the next thought that's occurred to me. Is a squad mentality something that is there for the long term, delivering you know, better, winning faster, winning more and winning better? Or does it come into its own when you're doing it to achieve a particular objective and then you disband? Or again, is that a bit of both?
It can be a bit of both. So if you're in a, well, let's use a sporting team again. I guess sporting teams have a season, mm-hmm. and then the season ends, and then they come back again and they will start again for the next season. Mm. But within the season, they might play the league, the cups in Europe, and play, and therefore they need to create their squad mentality around each of those elements. So for me, a squad can come together for the short term, but if you know, in organizations, the organization is going to go on for a much longer time period. And I think it's important to continually come back and reframe and recontract and re-engage as a squad on a more, mm-hmm. on a frequent basis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've used the word team in this because we've talked about sports teams part of this description. Just give us a bit of a explanation as to how squad mentality differs from teamwork. You know, in the workplace, if I'm looking to create a squad mentality, what's different about that than if I'm looking to encourage people to work better together as a team?
Well, I think where I'd come to from that one is I often find that the word squad and team are synonymous. Mm-hmm. All right. So I've used the word squad to perhaps capture the complexity in organizations these days where the people are often or more often working cross-functionally or across the matrix or across geographical boundaries. And so I think if you were, you know, you could call this a team mentality, but I don't think that quite captures the fact that you need to reach out, and a team within an organization can't achieve anything on its own. It still has to involve other people in terms of getting to its place. And hence, the squad is perhaps a wider viewpoint than a team. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does feel bigger, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think it's, you know, a team within an organization will depend on other teams to be successful. Mm. And I think it's the whole point around the squad mentality is it's recognizing that, making those connections, and if you like, actively contracting with stakeholders to make them part of the squad. So
that makes sense. So is a squad mentality something that, you know, if we've got a CEO or leadership team listening to this now, is that something that they would be thinking about trying to create across the whole organization? Or is a squad mentality more something that you would look to do within at a sort of more team leader, sort of smaller group level?
Okay, that's a really interesting question from a number of perspectives. From a business development perspective, it'd be great if it was always going to be across whole organizations, but it tends to start in one place.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so, and that's one of the other, I guess, characteristics of squad mentality. Yes, it's about the team, but it's also about leadership and leading teams. So if you think about any leader within an organization, if they create clarity of purpose for their teams, if they know and use the strengths of their people, if they create a winning mindset and a set of ground rules which they live by, then they will create a squad mentality and be able to deliver results faster.
Right.
So, however, it's one of those sort of concepts. Again, I think it might help because where squad mentality came into my world, if you like, was I think as we mentioned in the introduction, I've been working for nearly 35 years. And it just felt like a good time to do a little bit of reflection. Uh-huh. And so I what happened was I started to make a list of things that energized me. And it became quite a big list. Mm-hmm. And then I started to sort it out. And I noticed that what was energizing me on that list was the fact that I was bringing together the thoughts of contemporary and established thought leaders around there. On, you know, so the people like Pink and Sinek and Seligman and Carol Dweck and Angela Duckworth and Brené Brown, loads of people who are giving us some insight into how good work gets done. And I think all that I did in my own way was to map the field a bit.
Right.
And actually, as I mapped it, it fell into four areas that you could influence, which was purpose, strength, mindset, and culture. Mm-hmm. And it led to better performance. And I guess the thing is that the, you know, I'd like to just dwell on performance for a minute, because the key to me in successful teams and successful organizations is that people are engaged and they perform. So actually, if you like, the output of having a squad mentality is engaged performance.
Right. So engagement in itself, of course, is never enough, is it? Because engaged, you've got to actually deliver something with it.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been in an organization where somebody hasn't asked me to bend the line a bit upwards.
Yes, yes.
And that's fine, you know, in terms of it's easy to say that, but you can't actually control that. What you can control is giving your teams clarity of purpose, working with their strengths, giving them a wanting to win mindset, creating a culture where people can do courageous thinking. Mm. And then you have a chance of bending the line or not.
Yes. Can you, because that leads quite nicely on, really, to say, you know, how, if somebody is listening to this, how do they go about creating a squad mentality? I mean, I know you've touched on these four areas, the purpose, the strengths, the mindset, and the culture, but can you perhaps expand on those a little bit for us, Eamon?
I will try and describe a way of getting started on this.
Okay.
Something simple. I noticed from the website, you know, something you can do on Monday.
Right. Yes.
So hopefully it falls into that bracket. So if you can imagine that any team is on some form of trajectory or some form of curve, and they may or may not have hit the sweet spot for that curve, but they are performing. But then things within the environment or the calendar year simply changes. And I'd like you to imagine that the team will reach a transition point and they need to start a second curve to then hit the next spot. So the nugget is to create a transition point, step onto a second curve, and define what your next sweet spot is going to look like. So if you had your team together on Monday morning, and you wanted to just do a little bit of reflection, you could ask, you know, where have we come from in the last 6 months? What's been great? What's not perfect yet?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then to just simply move forward, what would our next sweet spot look like? What will we have achieved? What does good look like? What does it feel like when we hit the next sweet spot? And then, of course, the next piece, it's a really simple question, but takes a bit of time to work your way through it, which is, so what kind of team do we need to be? It's a really powerful question. So what kind of squad, what kind of team do we need to be? And there are a number of questions you can ask here. What are we here to do, to deliver and to achieve? What's the impact we want to have?
Mm.
Why on earth is that important? Why should anybody care? Why is it worth getting out of bed to do?
Yeah.
What do we believe in? What do we value? So if you let, there's a little bit about what we do and why we do it in there. And then, you know, what are the strengths? What do we each bring? And there's a number of ways you can look at strengths. You can look at strengths in terms of strengths of character, in terms of how people show up, the strengths in terms of their potential and their talent. You can look at their value systems, and you can look at their strengths of personality. Find out what each person brings and use it.
Mm. You know, I'm really interested. Sorry, I'm interrupting you here. I'll let you go on in a minute. But you know, what's really interesting here is that whether that's me with my team on a Monday morning, and whether that team is, whether that's my kind of call center cohort or whether it's my, I don't know, my developer team or whether it's my executive team. It doesn't actually matter. I'm asking those questions. But what's interesting, what strikes me as particularly interesting from what you're describing is that I, as the leader, manager, team leader, am asking my people for their opinions and their contributions and their views. And they are contributing to the shape of where that next sweet spot will be and where and how they're going to get there. So they're very invested because we're listening to their views and taking those on board.
Well, absolutely. This goes back to that core belief of mine that people are quite unusually brilliant.
Yes.
Right? People are not only quite unusually brilliant, they are interested in their work and they are also pretty much expert at what they do. And it's funny. It seems such an obvious thing to me to get people invested in talking through this and that the answers will lie within the team. And almost the leader's job is to provide some vision and some clarity, but actually the leader's job is to inspire people to follow them. And actually the only way I think you can get people to follow you is if you they trust you, if you've demonstrated trust in them. And crikey, these days the leader can't know everything.
No.
So you have to involve the team. And when I do this work, it really is remarkably powerful when you suddenly see a group of people get their clarity of purpose, suddenly understand that everybody's got strengths and they're different. And when they then, and I'll go on to this, the next little bit they could do is then they can talk about what sort of mindset do we need to have in order to perform, to learn, and to have fun along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, I sound deadly serious, as I'm talking to you now, but, I had such a wonderful time in my early career in terms of the work I did, and it was all centered around performance, learning, and having fun.
Yes.
And I just think, and I think most people come to work to do a good job. Right. So harness it. And I think, and then there's only one other thing, I do think this is an area which I think really needs to be done. What's the word I'm looking for? Deliberately, I think I'll use that word, is setting ground rules. Too many times teams have a set of ground rules which are unwritten. And I think a set of people need to talk through how they're going to treat one another, what are their needs and expectations of one another, how they're going to communicate, how they're going to make decisions, and above all, spend time talking about how will you call it when it's working and how will you call it when it's not working. Because doing all this stuff around the squad mentality and then not being able to talk about what needs to be talked about makes it worthless. So in essence, the whole thing about a squad mentality is really simple, is define your purpose, use your strengths, create the right mindset, create your climate and ground rules, then talk about some real work, go and do some, repeat process. And that's it.
It's easy. And it's interesting, that last bit you were talking about, the ground rules. I mean, that is so important, isn't it? It's not about saying, culture will just be whatever the culture will be. Because if you don't manage that, if you don't define that, if you don't actually spell out what it ought to be like. Yeah. And that doesn't have to be a rigid code of practice, but it needs to be, we call it a framework, a cultural framework. Yeah. People need to know within that how they should operate. And otherwise it could just go off in all kinds of directions and become quite toxic.
Absolutely. I've always believed that, creating boundaries, creating a framework, that's when people can be their most creative within that. If you have no framework, then actually you don't know whether you're doing it well or not.
Excellent. Okay, we've only got about 5 minutes left, and okay. I would wonder if we could just finish up by, are you able to tell us a little bit? I mean, you touched on the RFU, the Rugby Football Union.
Yeah.
But are you able to sort of share any examples of where you've seen squad mentality, the principles that you've been describing applied, and what the results been?
Yeah, could I? Maybe as I began with a rugby example, let me finish with something I saw, which probably made me realise how powerful the squad was. Mm. I was at a team session, and I happened to be in a meeting, and the head coach was going to have to let one of the players know that they were not going to be in the match day squad for the weekend. All right. Which is a big thing for the players. And so in the afternoon, I was lucky enough to be watching them run through their training drills in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I watched them train in increasing intensity for 45 to 50 minutes. As an ex-useless rugby player, it was a pleasure to watch it. And then my client tapped me on the shoulder and said, look at the guy who's been dropped from the squad for the weekend. And he was working so hard. And that's what struck me about that's what the mentality that you actually want. What was it that this squad had created that a player who was not going to get a cap at the weekend was still willing to work his rocks off? So some people might say it was professionalism. I would like to say that group of people had created a wonderful squad mentality.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah. So that's a little example. The work examples are they're a little bit more qualitative, is because at the end of it, when I've worked with them, time and time again, they say thank you for giving us the time to talk this through.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, you know, the whole thing around strengths and getting to know one another is teams can work for years with people and not really know them. And
yes, they fall into a rut of doing the same things and doing things in the same way and assuming that that's what Fred does and that's what she does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you'll discover that, you know, we'll find out what these people do at weekends. People are amazing. And I think it's teams and squads that spend a little bit of time getting to understand who the people are, what makes them tick, what strengths they bring to the party, tell them they're valued, tell them how they make an impact, and they will run through walls for you.
Yeah. And all those, often those extracurricular skills that people have developed outside of work are so transferable in the workplace, aren't they? That they just don't have the opportunity to bring them to bear, really. So, yeah, fascinating. Okay, well, that's been really interesting, Eamon. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I know we've inevitably in a 30-minute session we kind of have to skim the surface of these things, and I purposely asked you to do it that way. But I'm sure it's probably struck some chords with a lot of our listeners. So if people want to find out more about this concept, how can they do that?
Well, there's two ways. There's a website, www.squadmentality.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if on LinkedIn you were to put in hashtag squadmentality, hopefully, look under my postings, mm-hmm. you should see 25 videos that have been posted addressing the topic in a little bit of detail, and the topics are set up with a little bit of insight, and then there's some top tips on them.
Oh, excellent! Oh, we all love a bit of video. It always helps to bring it to life. So that would be great. So those are available on LinkedIn under your name, are they, Eamon?
Under my name, under my post. Yeah.
Excellent. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for for sharing what is obviously a passion of yours, and I think is an infectious passion too. So thank you for that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And it just remains for me to say thank you and goodbye.
Thank you.